And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, Shane. Before we jump into the SEC football action, obviously we don't do a whole lot of basketball. I don't want to bore SEC football fans out there with too much basketball talk, but I really wanted to lead off with this clip, Shane, because it's definitely worth sharing. We had an old boy from Kentucky. I didn't catch his name. I don't think it says it here on this clip, but he calls into Coach Cal, John Calipari's coach's show there at Kentucky. And he's got a wild story for his tradition there for the Wildcats. So let's jump to this clip. This is Coach Cal and one of his Kentucky fans.
Another thing for you, Cal.
Yeah.
I have a prosthetic UKI, and I put it in, man, and watch the games, and go to town with it and everything. And I hear a lot about it. And everybody says, you ought to call Coach Cal and tell him about it.
Wow.
Yeah, I did it, man.
Unbelievable.
I've had it like 3.5 years.
And wow.
But I'm a big UK fan, buddy.
All right, Shane, how about that, man? This old boy's popping in a UKI, and, oh, man, I'm going to include a link to this video on our Reddit page because you've got to see Coach Cal and his co-host here, just their reaction to this wild story. What was your reaction when you first saw this one?
Well, I had to listen to it a few times, and just for the listeners, what he is saying is he puts in a UK prosthetic eye. And apparently walks around town. It's a big deal. The locals love him. I'm sure they call him Captain. That's what I would name him. You know, that's awesome. So these guys, like you said, squirming on that show, they couldn't believe what they heard. So I want, you know, forget that. I want to see this guy. You know, surely he's got some sort of social media, and I want to see the UKI, brother.
Yeah, so if any of our Kentucky listeners, loyal listeners there from Lexington, if you know who this damn wild man is who pops in his UK glass eye for the basketball games, please let us know. We'll get that information out there.
Captain Jack.
All right, Shane, let's go around the league here.
All right, man, let's do it.
Now let's go around the league.
Around the league.
We haven't decided how we're going to play the guys, so, and I wouldn't tell you if I did, so, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week, all our play. I mean, it's just like, right, I mean, just hear it over and over, and, you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice, so you just you get used to it. It's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's going to be a street fight. This game's going to be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat, lunch pail. Let's get to work.
All right, Shane. So I kind of thought this would be coming, and now we're starting to get a little bit of leaked information here from Columbia, Missouri. And, of course, we're talking about the current NCAA ban Missouri has on the 2019 season. And of course, when that all came out, the NCAA recommend, you know, the seniors be allowed to leave free of without having to sit out a year. And apparently we got four SEC teams already reaching these guys, offering them to come to campus. And according to the media there at Missouri, those four schools, Shane, Auburn, Mississippi State, Tennessee, and Texas A&M. What are your thoughts when you hear, I mean, and there's going to be several others, I'm sure, but of course, we're just interested in the SEC teams here, but already got four of the other 13 SEC teams knocking at the door here at Missouri.
Dude, I was off, man. I could have swore Arkansas would be on this list, but a little surprised. I didn't think Auburn would be up there. I didn't think Tennessee would be there. So this is this could get interesting. Let me ask you, Mike, if you were poaching a few players off that Missouri team, those seniors, which one are you eyeing? Which one? I mean, I'm sure all these teams are interested in a few of the guys, probably not all of them, but which ones are you really got your eyes on if you're a Missouri fan?
Well, Shane, I'll tell you immediately, right away, two of these schools, Auburn and Mississippi State, I think it's no coincidence that they lead the list here, and that's because both of those schools are trying to get Kelly Bryant to rethink his decision and go to those schools. I would almost guarantee you that one. As for Tennessee, I mean, you're looking at linebacker help, receiver help. I believe Missouri's got a receiver that's actually from the state of Tennessee, Jonathan Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a guy that Tennessee would really be interested in. And A&M, I don't know. They lost some linebackers. I think Missouri's leading tackler was a senior, he's a linebacker. Cale Garrett, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he's coming back as a senior, so that would be one to watch. I'm just purely speculating here on these names, so don't.
Right.
I'm not really reporting any of this or anything, but I can almost guarantee you the fact that Auburn and Mississippi State leading the charge here. Those are two going after Kelly Bryant.
Kelly Bryant, yeah. Okay, man, I could see that for sure, especially Auburn because he was so close, it felt like. So would you be surprised? I mean, would it just blow your mind if he was the first one to go?
I mean, initially, I think that was everyone's thought, was just, you know, he's made a huge mistake and he's got to get out of there. But, you know, at the end of the day, more time to think about it. I don't know what's changed for him. As long as all the skill position players return, you know, the offensive linemen return, and I just don't see why he would leave. I mean, he's not going to necessarily win a national championship. I mean, I'm sure that's his ultimate goal there at Missouri, but if he was concerned about that, he would have stayed at Clemson, you know? Yeah. So I think he's looking to showcase his skills. There's not going to be another quarterback there that's going to challenge him, and he's in a pro-style offense with a former NFL coach. He's trying to get to the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn's not going to help him do that. We just saw Mississippi State's offense was terrible for most of the year. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, I think I'd be surprised if he left.
Okay, good stuff, Mike.
All right, let's jump to Tuscaloosa, Shane. We got some big news here on Tuesday where five-star, I guess he's a freshman, but former five-star recruit, I'm going to butcher this damn guy's name, but Iyambe Anome, outside linebacker, Shane, he was the number 4 overall prospect in 2018. And I heard reports out of Alabama, people just Tuscaloosa fall camp, what have you. They were comparing this guy to Lawrence Taylor some of the comparisons I was hearing. Now, he did get hurt, I believe, in fall camp. Never really made that impact as a true freshman. But if you're talking, I mean, that's an incredible, lofty thing to throw out there. I mean, one of the greatest outside linebackers of all time. I mean, if this guy even approaches that and he leaves Alabama, so this guy's in the transfer portal. I don't know if I said that, but he's in the transfer portal. It's being reported there on Tuesday. How big of a loss would that be for Alabama? Or are you just shrugging your shoulders and saying, hell, it's Alabama. They'll have someone to replace this guy.
No, this one's big, man. I mean, you're talking – they said that this was Nick Saban's highest defensive commit, you know. So this isn't just anybody. This is, what did you say, number 4 overall last year. So
the
guy's extremely raw, and I think that's what caught up to him. They said that he only played football for 2 years in high school. So, you know, he's a little bit behind the curve, and to go into Alabama and expected to learn that defense year 3, I'm sure that was a difficult curve. So this guy also, I don't know if you remember, but back December he sent that tweet out. I think we talked about it on the show, something like the decision's been made or something along those lines. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay, so he came out, and like it was late December, and I don't quote me on the tweet, but it said something along the lines like, I've made up my mind or something like that. And so a lot of people were speculating that he was going to transfer, but he later came out and he said, well, his grandmother just had surgery, and he was talking to her. He was going to notch his game up a little bit, and he's a – what's really convenient on this situation is he's from the Baltimore area.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Maryland's in play now, you know, because Loxley's the guy that was recruiting him. So that's just when I'm reading the tea leaves, that's what everybody's saying.
Okay, so Cousin Shane reporting at first that Nome is throwing his grandma under the bus here. Is that?
That's what he said. I wasn't the first to report, man. But that's what he said. So if that's true and he really wants to be close to family, I doubt Bama keeps him. But the guy is a freak athlete. So I think with a little work, he really could be something special.
Yeah, now I see why you're making that Maryland connection. That's an obvious one to maybe kind of go to. But, hell, Shane, if he leaves, he's going to have to sit out 2019. We're talking 2020 for him to get on the field. I mean, we've seen it in the past. A lot of these freshmen, elite freshmen, go to Alabama, and they just get kind of overwhelmed. But they do a really good job of just kind of getting them to buy back in and stay in the system. I can't imagine, you know, if you're talking Maryland or – hell, if you're talking basically outside of maybe Georgia, and maybe that may be it. I don't understand this move, if he does leave, how it's helping him, unless he does get some kind of immediate eligibility for 2019. It seems like everybody's getting it these days. So maybe he's got some waiver, like you're saying, his grandma. Maybe he's got to return home to her. I have no idea. But if he has to sit out 2019, this move doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, and too, he's in the portal. Doesn't mean he's going. Of course, every time we say that, they end up leaving. But, you know, Saban still has an opportunity to keep him on the staff. And, you know, he got him there. He got him there once, so maybe he can keep him again.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Gainesville, where this is not necessarily news-related, but I just thought this was pretty interesting. This comes from Matt Baker of the Tampa Bay Times. You know, credit him for coming up with this first. But according to him, you know, Florida is not expected to sign any five-star prospects tomorrow. And what that will mean for the first time in maybe damn program history since Spurrier, but Florida will not have a single five-star player on the roster for 2019. How unbelievable is that, Shane?
That's crazy. What is Steele ranked? Chris Steele, is he not a five-star?
No, I believe he's like top 40. So he's borderline, but according, I'm not sure where this guy's getting it. I assume he's looking at 24/7 composite, but I mean, he is a four-star on there.
Oh man, that's crazy. No, I had no idea. I thought they had at least a handful of them down there. Then when you sent me this, I couldn't believe it. I mean, and then here you got like Florida State right down the road, and they've got all those five stars, and you know, the Gators killed them last year. So I guess the stars don't matter as much, I guess, if you're not developing them.
Yeah, and I mean, just look around the SEC. I mean, Georgia's loaded there with five stars. Hell, even Tennessee's got a handful on their roster. South Carolina's got a few. So, I mean, credit Dan Mullen and his staff doing a hell of a job there without – now, let's not pretend they don't have talent. I mean, they probably have more four stars than just about anyone outside of Alabama and Georgia in the SEC. So they're still loaded, but just really, really odd when you think about Florida not having – those elite of elite prospects. And hell, the last one they had, Shane, I think the guy that's leaving there, the Martez Ivy, I don't think he ever panned out to be a five star. So it's not like they've been having a lot of this success with five stars. So I don't know if they can start get that going. Maybe Florida can get back to being dominant.
That's true, man. That's a scary thought, but it is true.
Okay, one other thing here with the Gators, Shane. Georgia Tech offensive lineman Parker Braun, apparently he visited Florida over the weekend. This is according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And for anyone not familiar with Braun, he's a two-time All-SEC selection, obviously playing under Paul Johnson there in the triple option. Georgia Tech's got a new head coach in Jeff Collins, so maybe Parker Braun doesn't want to play in that system, whatever they're putting in there. But how big would that be for the Gators, Shane, considering Florida's losing four starting offensive linemen? They're only returning one guy up front, so inserting a guy of this caliber, of course, it was the ACC. It's a different animal a little bit, but I think this would be a big pickup for the Gators here.
Oh, yeah. Like you said, they got so many linemen gone. So, I mean, this guy all of a sudden becomes your team lead, you'd think, you know. This guy must just hate Georgia. So he leaves Georgia Tech, and he's considered going to Florida. So he just wants to get them all. Huh? He wants to find a team that can beat Georgia. So I don't know if Florida's it, but I think they'll have a better shot than Tech did.
Yeah, and if I recall, Shane, you know, it's hard to remember back the preseason after all the football we just had, but Florida's offensive line was a huge question mark going into the year, now that I think of it. And to think of the production they got with a bunch of guys. Now, of course, there was talent there, obviously. Juwan Taylor looks like he's going to be a first-round pick. And like I was saying, you know, they had a former five-star on the other side there. But if they're able to get a guy of this caliber, they may even be able to make him better based on what we saw last year. So I think that's got to be the recruiting pitch there to Parker Braun here.
Yeah, for sure, man.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Tennessee, where I know you got a kick out of this one when I retweeted it, but this was a little bit of research done by The Athletic, where they went back, you know, they go back to four recruiting classes ago, essentially, so that they can, once they see all these guys on the field, they like to reevaluate the rankings and kind of give them a new ranking for what they actually did on the field, not just how they signed as commits. And the way they said they broke this down, if these players were all American, they get 3 points. If they're all conference players, they get 2 points. I believe if they're starters during their career, they get 1 point. So that they kind of just rack up those points based on each signing class. And the one that really stuck out to me, Shane, 2015, I think this was the big Butch Jones class. They finished fourth in the nation in the 2015 recruiting class that year. And on their re-ranking, Shane, they did not crack the top 50. I mean, how do you go from number four to out? And they only, I mean, he only went that far. He's like, they're not even mentioned in the top 50. So they could have been, I mean, he didn't assign them a number. It could have been 100, could have been 130. I don't know. But what are your immediate thoughts when you hear that?
Well, as a Tennessee fan, we've been down this road, you know. You remember when Kiffin was here, he had the great signing class, and I think we had like two players at the end of the time. But, you know, this right here, I did get to read the article because it's on The Athletic, and you only get to read like 5% of it, and then you got to pay for it. And I'm like, oh. So I asked for some screenshots, somebody to copy and paste. I did not get it, so I don't know much about this article, but it did look good. Hey, well, you obviously looked at it. Who was, did they have any that maybe was lower, like 20, 30, that ended up being first or second? Anybody in the SEC?
Oh, well, Alabama, of course, number one. Clemson was number two. Those stood out to me. One that I thought was really interesting was damn Toledo was like number 13. So, that was pretty wild, but it's a pretty long article. I didn't read it all, but I just, you know, I was just kind of curious where that Tennessee class ranked and outside the top 50, which, I mean, that pretty much says it all for old Butch Jones as a developer of talent.
Absolutely, man. So it wasn't worth the money. Okay, I got you.
Final thing I got on Tennessee, Shane, this is kind of interesting. So Tennessee announced the date of the spring game, 2019 spring game. It's going to be on Saturday, April 13th. And that's not the interesting part, Shane. The interesting part, the game is at 6 o'clock at night. What are your thoughts on Tennessee having a spring game kind of in the evening there? I can't recall the Vols ever doing this, can you?
I can't. I mean, this is an early event. When I was a kid and went with my grandfather, you know, we got up at the butt crack of dawn to go see this thing. So I love it. I think you're going to have a more of electric environment, you know. You know, I doubt he's going to push for the record, you know, because I think 60,000 is the most that ever showed up to one of these things. But this is how you get there. Having a night event, I think that's awesome. Under the lights at Neyland, I think this could be a new trend.
Yeah, now I've seen Kentucky, Florida, maybe a couple others. They've had it on Friday night. I'm not really a fan of Friday night. I understand why they do it. You know, I particularly now that all these games are televised, so maybe sometimes, you know, SEC Network or what have you ask them to do it. But Saturday night, I kind of do like, kind of like you're saying there, you have, if you do go to Knoxville there, you got a long time to tailgate if you want to do that. There's no rush to get up there, because I can recall a couple times, Shane, just living on campus there, and my buddy's like waking my ass up to go to the spring game. It's like, oh God, like why would I want to go sweat my ass off? It's so damn hot in the spring. So, I mean, it might make it even more, you know, enjoyable for the fan base to see it at night. And hell, you're not really even going for the game itself, it's just more of the spectacle and just having a good time. It's, you know, you don't care who wins, so you can leave early if you really need to get out of there early. They're not that long to begin with, but.
Oh, yeah. And the line. I mean, because you're trying to get a lot of the people that get there early are trying to get on the field and get, you know, one or two signatures, you know. And I mean, the last time I went, I thought we got there early, and the end of the line was all the way up at Thompson Bowling Arena. So, you know, by the time we got on the field, it was time to get in the stand. So we got no signatures, but the girls did get on the field. So that was pretty cool. Got some good pictures there.
Yeah, and I think one other thing that could make this a good move for the Vols here, Shane, obviously in the SEC and around the country, but particularly in the SEC, these spring games are huge recruiting visit weekends for prospects all across the nation. And I wonder if, kind of like we were saying, man, getting up here early, if you're coming from, say, Memphis or Atlanta or the Carolinas, I mean, it's probably hard to get up there by noon. You're going to have to leave your house at, you know, the crack of dawn. Whereas if it's later in the evening here, Shane, you could kind of mosey along a couple hours before and still get, you know, the good atmosphere, get to go to the game. So I wonder if this pays off for Tennessee from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah. Is your dog going, Mike? I'll tell you, too. Name one 17 or 18-year-old that wants to get up, you know, early in the morning. So, I mean, you're recruiting these kids. So sleeping in is not a bad option for these guys.
Let's jump to Athens, Shane, where not technically Georgia news, but it's Georgia-related, so I figured this works here. But Sony Michel, for anybody that missed it, he was on Jimmy Kimmel Live on Monday evening. This is a pretty cool clip here. It's not the entire clip because it's about 6 minutes long. I didn't want to include the whole thing here, but I'm going to include the highlights here. I thought Sony Michel came off really good. And, you know, a lot of times you get these athletes on these entertainment shows and they just kind of, it's just, they're just stiff and awkward. But I didn't think Sony Michel was that way at all. So let's cut to this clip and then we'll discuss it here.
In addition to rushing for 94 yards, our next guest did something very unusual last night in Atlanta. He scored a touchdown. It would turn out to be the only touchdown of the whole game from the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. Please welcome Sony Michel. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I heard you got a new grill to celebrate the occasion.
It's my Super Bowl grill.
When did you get it?
Two nights before the Super Bowl.
What if you hadn't won? What would the grill have gone back, or was it refundable type situation?
Nah.
No. What'd you guys do last night? Like, what happened after the TV cameras left?
After the TV cameras left, everybody headed for the party.
For the party. And who performed at the big party?
Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
Meek Mill.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites. Ludacris. And they had that thing rocking, like, I was like, my parents in here.
Oh, your parents came, huh?
Yeah.
Was that at all uncomfortable?
No.
Did they stay to the end, your parents?
No, my mom.
Good.
She was the party pooper, so she kind of got tired.
Uh-huh.
And so my dad had to take her back to the hotel, so my dad wanted to get lit. It didn't work out for both of them.
You know, when you talk about, like, the players partying and stuff, like Tom Brady, this is the sixth time for him.
Yeah.
Did he cut loose? Did he eat a melon slice or something like that? Did you see him get, really enjoying himself?
Actually, when I got there, I kind of expected it to be, like, the players, the parents. So it was more people than I thought.
I see.
So he kind of had his own VIP area at the top.
I see.
So I kind of felt like a fan. Everybody was taking, everybody was like had their phones out. So I just pulled my phone out.
Uh-huh.
Even though I just got off the field with him. He was up there with his family. He had his kids in there.
What about the ball itself when you score the touchdown? Do you get to keep that ball, and how do you protect the ball?
Yeah, so once I score, I hold on to it tightly because somebody's going to try to grab it.
Right.
And they're going to try to keep it. So I just take it to the sideline, try to dap everybody up with one hand, and
And you went to college with Todd Gurley, who plays for the Rams. Did you guys interact after the game?
No. I heard somebody tell me. Somebody told me he was the first one back in the locker room.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. He's the fastest guy, so that would make sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
All right, Shane, so Sony Michel on Jimmy Kimmel Live, man, what did you think?
Dude, this is the first time I've ever heard Sony talk. And I just thought he was a quiet, reserved guy. And I'll tell you what, he nailed this interview. If you get a chance, you need to get on YouTube. Jimmy, I'm sure we'll put it on the Reddit page. You could jump on there and look at it. But I tell you what, man, he did fantastic. So the only touchdown scored that night. So it was a two-yard dive. But, he made the best of it, brother.
Yeah, and I think if it's Georgia Smart, Shane, you know, there's always these bragging rights of, you know, who's running back you and whatnot. Mm-hmm. On the next recruiting graphic for Georgia, I think I would put, you know, you got to put how many all-SEC, how many draft picks, how many Super Bowls, what have you. You know, that's pretty standard. But then at the bottom, I got to put one appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live because I don't think any Alabama running backs have done that.
No, that's awesome, man. You should take advantage of it. Have his thing on loop, man.
All right, Shane, let's jump to College Station here where, you know, a little bit of interesting news. This is a topic we've hit on several times this offseason, and I just get more and more encouraged the more times I see this. But the Texas governor, apparently he's made some comments here. You know, some people get pissed off when these politicians talk football, but I mean, I guess it is what it is. But old Greg Abbott, the governor down there in Texas, he said he is willing to work to revive the Texas A&M football series. So this is just the latest in a series of events to where it seems like both schools are interested in doing it. Maybe some fans, obviously, and the student body. Any thoughts here on the governor? I mean, maybe he steps in here and makes him play, but what are your thoughts on Texas governor making these comments?
Well, I mean, there was some other politician that was working it down there from the other side. So I think he was the Texas side trying to get it on. So, I don't know, man. You get the politicians to start talking about it. You know, sometimes things get moved around, you know. It's almost voting season, man, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how it gets done, Shane. I just want this thing to come back. I'm tired of Texas A&M and Texas fighting on Twitter and on the message boards and all this garbage because – it's never going to get settled until they get back on the field. Mm-hmm. And these are just, these games are too big. And I understand, you know, one side thinks they don't need the other and vice versa, which they may not need each other, but it's not about that, man. It's about, this is just a game at the end of the day. And Alabama, Tennessee, and Florida, Georgia, I mean, do they need each other? I don't know if they need each other, but hell, I want to see those teams play every year, man. So at the end of the day, man, it's just a great game that I desperately want to see back.
I agree, man. And honestly, you know, the SEC is huge. Okay. We're the largest conference without a doubt. Everybody knows the SEC. But I don't watch a lot of Texas football, and Texas is big, man. Texas is really big into football, and I think this would just, I don't know, kind of open up the state a little bit more, kind of open up that conference a little bit more. So I'm all for it, man. I think this could be a great series, and I'd love to see it fired back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. All right, Shane, we're going to do a little National Signing Day preview, but before we jump to that, I got two bits of recruiting news here that we want to hit. So let's jump to Oxford, where they got a huge commitment here on Monday evening. The Rebels landed a commitment from four-star quarterback John Reese Plumley, who's a Mississippi native, and he flipped his commitment, originally committed to Georgia. This is pretty massive, I think, for Ole Miss and old Rich Rodriguez, the new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think, well, you know, this one's interesting because here you got Georgia. They've got two quarterbacks committed, and there was a lot of speculation that old Plum was going to get the blue shirt. Did you hear that?
Yeah, so that's basically what they were doing. They were slow playing him, and you know, I thought they kind of did him a little dirty because that's kind of was the plan. They were not going to visit him during the early signing period, and you know, they wanted him to hold off a little bit, and then they go around and they swipe Ohio State quarterback commit right out from under him. And I mean, I guess that's just a recruiting game, so it is what it is. Like, obviously, they had that Ohio State quarterback commit ranked higher than they did Plumlee, but I'll tell you why, Shane, and I think it comes down to a lot of people not 100% sold that Plumlee will be a quarterback at the next level because he's kind of small. He's listed at 6'1", 185 pounds. A lot of times when they're listed that, they're not even quite that size. Yeah. But I don't know, Shane. I think this is the thing where a lot of times, you know, there's guys like Emmett Smith who I don't know if you know, he got enough respect as he always deserved. Of course, he ended his career as the all-time leading rusher, and it's because he's undersized. You know, why did Johnny Manziel I don't really care about size, Shane. I care about production. Mm-hmm. And Plumlee, check this out, Shane, 33 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and he added 1,400 yards rushing with another 19 touchdowns rushing. I mean, this guy is a machine on the football field, and it's not like he was just doing it at some small school because apparently he led the Mississippi All-Star team to a victory over the Alabama All-Star team. So this guy can do it at a high level. He may not have the size you may not want, but if he's a true dual threat, he could be he may be the quarterback of the future there. I know they have Matt Corral, but he could be the one that Rich Rodriguez has really bought in. So I don't know. I'll be fascinated to see if he gets on the field next year for Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the guy runs like a 4.640, you know. And real quick, before we get too far, can you kind of explain a blue shirt to the listeners in case there's somebody? Because I didn't really know how. It seems to me like if you get blue shirt, you get like no financial aid. You can't really be on the team. You can't play in any games and stuff like that. But once the next year comes up, you still one of those scholarships. Is that right?
Well, it depends on how it works. Alabama actually did that with a top 100 prospect, kind of like you're saying, which is unbelievable that they can do that. But typically what that means, Shane, is, well, first, the coaching staff cannot visit you in your home. And they cannot host you for an official visit. So those are the first two steps. So that's kind of why they, I don't want to say they were ignoring this kid, but they didn't visit him. They didn't let him come to Athens on an official. So they could still have phone conversations and whatnot, but they did not allow him to officially come to campus on to where they'd pay for it and whatnot. And then what it really boils down to, you can sign with a school, but you cannot go on scholarship until later. And it's usually done in the summer. So if he would not be able to arrive at the school until probably August, and then they would count him as a 2020 prospect. So they would put him on scholarship, but it just kind of shows that they don't really have, you're not really a priority if they're just saying, you know, just wait, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? While schools like Ole Miss and Mississippi State were willing to put this kid on scholarship now, I mean, it just really lets you know where the priorities are. But this is, we should also state, like I said, Alabama's done this. All the SEC schools have done this. So I'm not picking on Georgia here. I mean, Tennessee's got a current commit that they're planning to do this too, from my understanding. But I think it has more to do with the fact they do not know if this kid will make the grades. And if you put someone on scholarship, they don't make the grades, they still count against you. So if you can't qualify, they can blue shirt you, then you do qualify, then they can count you to the next class. So it, in some instances, it does make a little bit more sense than the others, but you can't fault this guy for saying, Georgia's kind of put me on the back burner. I'm going to go to an SEC program that really wants me.
Absolutely, man. One man's trash is another man's treasure, and I think Ole Miss is tickled pink to have him down there. I think they've got three quarterbacks there. So I don't know. I've seen some video on him. I mean, he is a true dual threat quarterback. And I think that could be exciting, man, especially with Ole Miss. I mean, they're going to need a spark. Not saying that he's going to come up there and do it the first year, but who knows? A couple years from now, he may be the guy. So let me ask you real quick. And I know we're talking about Ole Miss, but I want to bounce back to Georgia. Behind Fromm, who's the backup?
I think it's going to be this guy named, I believe his name's Stetson Bennett. And it's a guy that they just signed, but it's a really weird story. So he walked on previously, And then he left because I guess because they wouldn't put him on scholarship, or I don't know if it was that or he just knew, hell, they got Jake Fromm and Justin Fields and I'm a walk-on. I'm probably not going to play. Right. And then he went to another, I guess it was junior college, and I think he did all right. But then now they've offered him a scholarship, so he's coming back to Georgia, so he knows the system, he knows the players. That's probably going to be Jake Fromm's backup next year.
Okay, so that's the three-star guy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
All right, Shane, final thing I got here before we jump to our National Signing Day preview, but South Carolina commit Jakeem Green, junior college defensive lineman, committed to the Gamecocks. He announces he will not sign on National Signing Day, and this was to be expected, and apparently it's just grade issues, so it's kind of similar to, you know, so the blue shirt candidate I was mentioning earlier. But if you can't qualify, I guess sometimes you can't sign. Basically, I don't know if South Carolina's telling him this or if he's just telling South Carolina, hey, I still have work to do in the classroom. Mm-hmm. But this is the number two defensive tackle in the nation from the junior college ranks. And he's a name that you should know, Shane, because he officially visited Tennessee 2 weeks ago. This is the guy they brought in. So I think Tennessee's really interested in him. I'll be very curious to see if maybe Tennessee accepts his signature. If maybe South Carolina won't, I don't know. But we kind of saw a little bit similar situation to this last year when Bryce Thompson, he was committed to South Carolina, did not sign during National Signing Day. And, you know, there were some questionable things in his background from some people say. Some people say it was just pure academics. And then the summer rolls around and Tennessee gets him on campus and he turns into an all-SEC freshman. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here with Jakeem Green, but just something to monitor that he's currently South Carolina's highest-rated commit at the moment. So a little bit of a blow here, but that's not to say he won't be a Gamecock in the end, but he just won't be officially tomorrow.
Okay, so he will not sign. We're just talking this out, Mike. Is there potential that he's – I mean, because I don't know if it's easier to get into Tennessee as it is South Carolina or something like that. Could you see something like that happening tomorrow, or is this – we're not going to see anything from this guy tomorrow?
I mean, it's National Signing Day, Shane. I never know what the heck is going on. So, I mean, it's the – yes, I mean, you kind of spelled it out. I don't understand how Bryce Thompson couldn't get into South Carolina, but he could get into Tennessee. Maybe that's some Fulmer, Jeremy Pruitt magic. I don't know. I got you. But –
Does Missouri get in play, you know, with their potential academic assistance?
The tutor is on her way to Jakeem Green's house as we speak.
Too soon.
You know, we wanted to give the listeners a little bit of National Signing Day preview, so I rounded up a big list here of all the guys that could be committing here to SEC schools. Got a long list here. Let's play a little recruiting intro, and then we'll break it down list by list here, all these guys that SEC fans need to know about.
Let's do it.
This is not a four-year decision. This is a 40-year decision. Come to the University of South Carolina, and you'll be successful the next 40 years.
Recruiting and retaining is our top priority. We're coming. We're coming fast. We're coming at you. The Jets fueled up. We're ready to go.
He was my guy from the get-go. I watched all up across the country. I truly believe Zach is as good of a quarterback as there is in the United States. His arm talent, his ability to run and create plays and make guys around him like an old-school quarterback. And it's just, he can do everything.
We have more players in the league than anybody else. We play in the greatest stadium. We play in the greatest conference, and we're the LSU Tigers. If you love the purple and gold, you'll come play for us.
All right, Shane, as I explained before, so this is going to be our National Signing Day preview, and I'm just going to break this down. I'm going to go in order of when they are scheduled to commit, and I did this for a bunch of guys here, so this is going to span basically the entire SEC. A lot of these guys, top targets all across the SEC, and all these times I'm saying here are listed Eastern time, so I don't want to confuse anybody, but Central time, obviously, an hour before, so we're going to start 8 a.m. Eastern time. Chris Bogle, the four-star linebacker from Florida. Shane, he is going to announce early. And this guy is actually committed to Alabama. He committed during the All-American Bowl on NBC. But a lot of people not so sure he's going to stick to that Alabama commitment. I know he was a big Tosh Lapoy guy. Obviously, Tosh is gone. So the Florida prospect, a lot of people think it's really down to Miami and Florida. So this is going to be a big one for Dan Mullen's program here. And hell, Shane, when this guy committed to Alabama, apparently he went to announce he was picking Tennessee, and then he picked Alabama. I don't know how the hell that happens, but if it's that last minute in this guy's mind, I would think Tennessee may still be on the clock here. So one for you to watch at 8 a.m. Now let's stick in at 8 a.m. here. Four-star defensive end Brian Young. This guy is an Alabama commit. A lot of people expect him to stick with that commitment to Alabama, but he's been flirting with LSU, Shane. He was at LSU in Baton Rouge on an official visit last weekend, so maybe the Tigers impressed him. I don't know. We'll wait and see. That's once again, that's 8 o'clock Eastern time.
They had a big weekend, Mike.
They did, and speaking of that, another 8 o'clock Eastern here, four-star cornerback Christian Williams, also an Alabama commit, but he was in Death Valley over the weekend on an official visit. Alabama, LSU, and now Miami is a little bit in the mix there with Manny Diaz. So one to watch there. Let's go 9:30 Eastern time. Here's one for you, Shane. Three-star defensive lineman Ladarius Cox. He's been committed to Tennessee for a long time, but it doesn't appear that maybe Tennessee is, I don't know if they're not wanting to take him. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is here, but he's visiting Ole Miss. He's visiting Auburn. He's an Alabama lineman. A lot of people think he's going to go to Auburn. So right around 9:30 Eastern time, we'll find out where Ladarius Cox is going to go. 11:15, jumping a little bit ahead here. Three-star athlete, maybe a receiver here, maybe a defensive back, Adonis Ote. He's a guy from Nashville that's currently committed to Arkansas, but he is going to make his final announcement between Arkansas and USC. That's Southern California, not South Carolina. Arkansas, USC for Adonis Ote at 11:15 Eastern time. At noon, this is a huge one, Shane. Five-star running back Jerrion Ealy. This one's going to be on ESPN2, so the ESPN National Signing Day stuff, I guess it's all on ESPN2 here. And he's going to make his decision between Clemson, Alabama, and Ole Miss. He's a former Ole Miss commit. It sounds like the Rebels got the momentum here, which is pretty surprising, Shane. But, hell, if Ole Miss, they just got this quarterback, they get five-star running back Jerrion Ealy if he doesn't decide to play baseball. We may be looking at another Ole Miss explosive offense that's it's going to be tough to beat if he goes there.
Oh, Rich Rod's been busy, buddy.
All right, let's go to 12:15 Eastern time. Four-star running back Mark Anthony Richards. This is a heated one, Shane. It's a lot of people thought it was down to Florida and Miami for the Florida native. This is the guy that old Dan Mullen helicoptered into his high school last week, I believe it was, and made a big spectacle. There was a huge crowd, but a lot of people thinking he might go to Auburn. So Auburn, Florida, and Miami battling it out for one of the nation's top running backs, and that's at 12:15. Now here we go at 1 o'clock. We got a four-star defensive lineman, Charles Moore, former Mississippi State commit. The Mississippi State's still in it, but Auburn and LSU are his other finalists here. So Charles Moore's got a lot of decision to make here. He's for U.S. Army, or no, he was an Under Armour All-American. So this is going to be a big, big get for somebody in the SEC West. At 1 o'clock, we got four-star cornerback Kair Elam. I always mess up his name there. He's going to be on ESPN2 making his announcement between Florida, Georgia, Miami. And I think he's giving a courtesy finalist to Colorado, Shane. But I don't think Colorado's going to get it done here. But I think it's really down to Florida and Georgia here. But this is the guy, of course, that, you know, Charlton Warren was recruiting to Florida. Then he the coach flipped to Georgia, so now Georgia's right in the thick of it here for Elam.
Now, is this the one with the golf that was golfing in Georgia?
Oh, yeah, they turned damn Sanford Stadium into a Top Golf just for Elam. Awesome. So, I don't know, we'll get to see. They're swinging for the fences down there in Athens, but obviously, whoever gets this guy, whether it's Florida or Georgia or maybe even Miami, but it's going to be a huge win for one of them. Let's go 1 p.m. Eastern time here, four-star Devontae Lee. He's also picking on ESPN2, and he's down to Alabama and LSU, I believe, is his two finalists. So another SEC West battle there. 1 o'clock, three-star defensive back Jay Ward. A lot of people think he's going to Kentucky, Shane. So Kentucky could be getting some good news here at 1 o'clock Eastern time. 1:30, four-star defensive lineman Ishmael Saucher. Another one on ESPN2. A lot of people think LSU, the top-rated defensive lineman there in Louisiana. But Alabama's not going away, Shane. Apparently the bag man came down to Saucher's house. So we'll see who gets him at 1:30 Eastern time. Here's another important one, Shane. 1:30, three-star tight end Brett Seether. But why this is such a big one, Shane, this is down to Alabama and Georgia. So they're both, this is the top tight end left on the board here. So Alabama, Georgia, you know, either they're going to get this guy or they're going to be facing him potentially the next couple of years in the SEC championship game. So that's a big one for both those fan bases. And then at 2 o'clock Eastern, we got four-star cornerback Jamie Robinson. A lot of people think South Carolina is going to be the option there, but he's also got Auburn, Kentucky, and your boy Shane Tennessee as his finalist. So 2 o'clock. Yeah, 2 o'clock. Got to be ready for that, Jamie Robinson. 2:30, big one here, Shane. Five-star George Pickens. He's currently committed to Auburn. Some people think he's going to stick to that, but he's coming off an official visit for Tennessee. Georgia and LSU are also right there. This was a guy a lot of people thought at the Under Armour All-American game was far and away the best receiver in the nation. So 2:30 Eastern time, everyone's got to tune in. It's not going to be on TV, but 2:30 Eastern time, someone will be streaming it, Shane. It'll be out there. There'll be video.
I'll find it. So Pickens is at what time again?
2:30 Eastern time, Shane.
All right. So I got to get up early and then, okay, all right, got it.
Okay, 3 o'clock Eastern time, Shane. Here's another one for you. Four-star linebacker Henry Tioto, and this is going to be on ESPN2. So Alabama, Tennessee, Washington, who's going to win out on the end? I know you remember, Shane, last week you were all Alabama, Tennessee's out. Right now they're saying Tennessee may have swung back. So you just never know until the last minute here. I know you're just hoping we don't want to see another Quay Walker here where he puts on that Tennessee hat.
Oh, fucking no throwing. Henry seems like a good guy. I don't see him doing that. You know? He just seems, every time I've seen him, he just seems like he's well put together. So I doubt there's going to be any hat flinging, but golly, I hope we get him.
That's I believe that's the same thing you said about Quay Walker, Shane, until he picked up that hat.
Oh man, I tell you, I'm afraid to watch National Signing Day sometimes. I've had some bad ones.
Okay, 3:45 Eastern time, Shane. Three-star linebacker Octavius Brothers, and this is down to Auburn's the favorite, but UNC and Miami are also in it for Octavius Brothers at 3:45. Last two, Shane. 4 o'clock, the biggest one of your year. Five-star offensive lineman Darnell Wright on ESPN2, Tennessee or West Virginia. West Virginia reportedly will have 500 coaches in attendance. We'll see if that works.
Polar vortex, yes.
Well, that's going to be at 4 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN2. And then last but not least here, Shane, 5 o'clock Eastern time, three-star linebacker Christopher Russell from near Memphis. He's right there in West Tennessee. He is down to Texas A&M, Arkansas. And I think Tennessee is going to have a courtesy hat there, but I think it's really just down to Texas A&M and Arkansas for Chris Russell here.
Oh, man. Let me ask you, Mike. Tomorrow, after all this happens, who are we looking at as a winner? In your opinion, who do you think is going – we're going to say maybe pulled some that we didn't think was going to happen. Just your upset alert. Let's just say it that way.
I'll give you one, Shane, and I think the one that could potentially pull some upsets, who seems to do this on an annual basis now, you may not want to hear this one, Shane, but I think it'll be old Kirby Smart in Georgia. Let's say they pull Kaiir Elam after this top golf situation. A lot of people think Florida's the favorite, but if Georgia could do well there, got George Pickens, the five-star. I mean, it just seems like you can never count Kirby Smart and Georgia out of the recruiting battle. They're sneaky, quiet. They're lethal. Yeah. You never see them coming. I didn't think Cade Mays would ever play for Georgia. I don't know about you, Shane, but when he ripped open that shirt, there was a big G under there. I mean, you just never know about these guys. He's a relentless recruiter. He's right there with Saban. He may be even better than Saban, but he's obviously not been doing it without Saban long enough, so he doesn't have that reputation. But I think if there's one that could shock us, it's going to be Georgia. I think one that could do really well, that maybe we're not be as shocked, but could do really well, LSU. I think they're poised to do really well for themselves. And outside of that, Shane, I'm not seeing a lot of surprises unless Tennessee. I definitely wouldn't rule them out to get Henry Toto. And if they get George Pickens too, that, I mean, I wouldn't say shocking because they've been involved with these guys, but Tennessee would be the huge winner. Of course, they have to get Darnell Wright as well, but there's an outside shot there at Tennessee. But I just think Georgia, LSU, I think they're far better positioned to do that, the big surprise.
Well, we're going to see it, Mike. That's one thing about National Signing Day. It's, you know, I watch them even if they're not even thinking about coming to my school. I'm entertained, you know, so I'm excited how they got these things back to back and going to stay busy. So I'm looking forward to it. Any old coaches going to be doing any announcing during this thing?
Yeah, I think Mark Richt is actually going to be on one of them.
Oh, good.
That's a big name that I saw on ESPN's. He's going to be on ESPN's coverage. And yeah, I'm kind of right there with you, Shane. I love this just for the damn drama and the shenanigans. I mean, you're seeing bulldogs pulled out of hats and
moms running away with the papers. You know, you never know what you're going to get.
I'm just really, yeah, I'm looking forward to all that stuff. So it'll be great to see. And then, of course, when it's all said and done, Shane, we're going to record another one. So we're going to have another one of these podcasts for you guys on Thursday, just kind of recapping, giving our thoughts, the winners and losers. So we got a ton of recruiting talk coming, but we thought you guys really would enjoy these, you know, three episodes in 3 days with a heavy emphasis on recruiting. This is kind of the big time for recruiting, so we had to do you guys right on this. All right, Shane, so that's all I got. I just said a shit ton there. You got anything before we close out?
No, I appreciate everybody hanging out with us, and it's been a while since we've had 3 days in a row, Mike. I'm a little wore out, even though you're doing all the talking, so that's good. It's current season, man, so I appreciate, like I said, if you dig out an iPhone, we've got some iPhone reviews. It really does help us out quite a bit. If not, who cares, man? Just hanging out with us is all we want, so I did want to close out. If we could, I know you left this part off, but one of my favorite tackles in the NFL from LSU, Whitworth. Did you see what he had to say on? It was the all time. You know, everybody talking about how great Tom Brady is and yada yada yada, but this guy just, you know, he hit the nail on the head. So one of my favorite. I'd like to close it out with that if we could.
Yeah, sounds good, Shane. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one, and we'll get you out of here with Whitworth.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
You're not going to get me to pout and feel sorry for myself. I realize what this game means. I cherish the crap out of it, and I don't give a crap if you have a Hall of Fame bust, if you're, you know, been a Pro Bowler or win 20 Super Bowls. At the end of the day, you're all going to die.